My dear spiritually rich fellow elect of God, chosen to be in Christ Jesus as his body, peace to you, who is through him who is our head, now and forever. Amen. Our deeper consideration led by the book of Ephesians, which we just heard, where it also says, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus. Lord, guide us in truth. Your word is truth. I was given a book by a retired pastor entitled, You Might Be a Lutheran If. Quite unsurprisingly, many pages of this book were dedicated to that wonderful tradition, the potluck. Lutheranism is rightly the champion of potlucks because Lutheranism started on a diet of Augsburg, the diet of Worms. And so we got to make up for that now by having great meals. Of course, I joke, those diets didn't have anything to do with food, but potlucks do. And they are great. My favorite part about potlucks, the pasta salad. My wife knows this about me. If I hear that there's a potluck coming up, I start thinking about the pasta salad. What kind is it going to be? Because there are different kinds. There's the kind that has, there's the creamy kind. There's the Italian kind. Some of them have sausage bits in them with olives. Some of them have mayo and peas. Pasta salads are great. All right, the new guy talked about waffles and ice cream last week. And I'm talking about pasta salads. This, I think we're going to get along just fine. The problem is I can obsess about pasta salads so much that it distracts me from what's actually going on. I start to see elbow noodles when I close my eyes. But for as great as pasta salad is, it's not necessarily the best thing for me. A lot of salt, bleached grains. I have to remind myself when I get to that point in line that it's probably better if I eat that broccoli instead of that pasta salad. It's important to remember in a true balanced diet that you should eat this and not too much of that. That's also true in a spiritual diet. It's not uncommon for life to rear its head in such a fashion that we start to obsess over this life. And we obsess over it in such a way that it consumes our thoughts, even waking us up in the middle of the night, over things that we think we should be able to control, but we actually can't. And then we can even obsess over the stuff that doesn't happen when we're sleeping. We can obsess over the good things in life, can't we? We obsess over making our life as pleasant and as comfortable as it can be. Our leisure activities, our enjoyable relationships. We want to chase that theme of la vie est belle. Life is beautiful. It can become an obsession. It can become our focus. And to that end, God's word reminds us today that these troubled things are going to be happening. We shouldn't really be looking at this life as the be-all, end-all. We should take an approach of this and that. This life and that real work of God. The letter to the Ephesians is one of the prison epistles. Paul was in captivity when he was writing this letter, and he likely wrote the letters to Colossae and Philemon at the same time. But what makes this letter really interesting in comparison to those is that there was a solid reason for the other two. The Judaizers were doing their thing in Colossae, confusing law and gospel. And Philemon and Onesimus needed to have their relationship restored to a proper Christian order. But to Ephesus, there wasn't one of those solid reasons for writing. No heresy was popping up. No one was causing hurtful divisions in the congregation. We simply know from the book of Acts that Paul had a heart for the Ephesians. So as he sat in his confinement in Rome, waiting for what would be the end of his life, he wrote to his brothers and sisters in Christ at Ephesus. He had lived with them for some time. He knew the city of Ephesus. He knew what it was like. It was a crossroads town. It was a place that saw a lot of trade because they were members of the Ionian League. They got extra money for the people that came through. And Ephesus was really interesting because it also housed the temple of Artemis or Diana. So Ephesus saw a lot of idolatry as well. This was the place where the silversmith Demetrius stirred up a rabble that made Paul have to leave in a hurry. Basically, Ephesus was a place that was about trade, temple, and temptation. For that time, it was a fast-paced life that would want to pull the young church in and try and get them to give up this new faith in Jesus. With his earthly fate being tied to Rome at this time, Paul wanted to set the tone for the Ephesians, for the believers there, as to why his chains in Rome didn't matter all that much, and why all the nice and entertaining things of Ephesus weren't that big of a deal either. And so he does that by launching right into the tone at the beginning of the letter. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And boom, there it is. God Almighty and His Christ, our Lord, first and foremost. Similar to what Paul preached to the Corinthians, he was doing again and reminding the Ephesians, Christ. Christ is the reason and Christ is the fulfillment of God's grace. The book continues, and there are many avenues which Paul goes down throughout the rest of Ephesians, but all roads lead back here. They lead back to Christ and what He has done. The whole point of the book is what is contained in these few verses. He informs the people of the fact of their state in God based in Jesus. And then he talks about how it happened in Jesus and how he preached it to them, and what that grace does in their everyday lives. Their status in Jesus will be shown by their focus on Him. It's easy to think that these Ephesians really needed that message. They needed a reminder because sin was so rampantly placed before them every day when they just even went to the supermarket for the daily needs. They really needed to hear about Jesus and what He did to make it through the moments of those days, especially when they were confronted by one of the associates of Demetrius who was going to be very upset about how the statues weren't selling the way they should. If they remembered this tone that Paul set out, they would be ready to face the adversity that would come their way. Now, of course, today we don't have silversmiths trying to sell us statues of Artemis. Our confrontations are subtler. In fact, they're like that very amazing pasta salad I was talking about at the beginning. sometimes you start thinking about these confrontations constantly. Maybe it's a viral post on some social media site that it sticks in your memory and it works its way to the front of your mind. Or maybe it's some terrible news story that gets repeated over and over, and then it's the only thing that you talk about. It burdens your heart. And anything that takes this front place in your mind that you focus on can start to bump God out of the picture. And for the enemy of God, anything that bumps God is a victory. Anything that can entice, embarrass, or ensnare you will be used. If your thoughts focus on this life, you will slowly and surely drift from God. Your God, who did such amazing things for you. And Paul knew the power of that temptation, so he kicks off the letter with something much more powerful. Who these Ephesian believers were in the sight of God because of Jesus. That would be the message which would make them to be the person that Psalm 1 talks about. The person who meditates day and night on the teaching of the Lord. The Lord Jesus made them truly children of God. And God had chosen them from the depths of time that they would be His in faith. They would be His children through the work of His Son and His Spirit. And He did all of that through His great love for His people. That message was much more important and impactful than what they were seeing in this city of Ephesus. This and that. We Christians today have a this and that kind of life. We have this life that we are living right now with all of its joys and its terrors. And we have that life. We have that life which is wholly wrapped up in something other than ourselves and this world and what we see and what we feel here. We have a status with God that has been established from before the beginning of time. It's something that is brought not because of how great we are or things that we have done or who we are. It's all from the grace of God. It's the pouring out of His great love for us that makes us children of the Most High. It makes us heirs of His kingdom. His glory is all because from the reaches of time, He looked out and He knew you. He knew your name and He gave you the gift of faith so that in His acts of great mercy, we would be found to be a part of His family for eternity. And He did that for us, knowing that the time would come when all of this life would come to an end. The time will come when God will roll up the sidewalks and say, "This time is over." And He will separate the sheep from the goats, and His elect will enter into His presence, and others will not. And so, just like the Ephesians, we have a status of sonship with God. We have that life evidenced by our focus on Him. That is something that has been given to us from His loving hand and is ours now, even though we don't experience that bliss right now. We still have this life to go through that has some ups and downs. It has distracting things like pasta salad. It has some awful things like asparagus. but the Lord still provides. That redeeming blood of Jesus, that was shed. That peace with God is ours, and that we proclaim when we take this precious meal. That we proclaim as we face the trials of this life with praise for Jesus on our lips. We state boldly that tone which Paul sets in the first chapter of Ephesians as the tone for our lives. Christ first, Christ again, and Christ last. Our lives get to be filled with joy and power over what God has done for us. He has lavished forgiveness and grace upon us, even when it feels rough in this life or super comfortable. That truth does not change. We can look at this existence here for what it truly is. It's a wild ride, with many ups and many downs, but because of the great love that he has shown us from eternity, this life is just a precursor. This life is true life in Jesus through the love of God. And that is the spiritual food to take in. That is the powerful message that fuels our faith. And sure, there are times and reasons to take in the lighter stuff, the babies that make us smile, the colors that paint the sky, the desserts and the pasta salad of life. But the food that gives us power for the moments that we really need it, that is the message of our adoption of sonship as children of God. That is something to heap high piles of on our plates and eat great helpings. In God's good pleasure, we have been brought into his family. In the blood of Christ, we are washed clean from all the times that we're distracted from that all-important truth. In Christ's resurrection, the gates of heaven are made wide open for us. And all of that was written by God's own hand in a book that has your name in it. Friends, don't take a small portion of that. Don't think on that for only 1 hour of the week. This life that you live now, it is inspired by that great love that makes heaven your reality. Dwell on that day and night. Your redemption was planned by Jesus before the foundations of the world were made. You have been elected as God's personal property to his absolute delight. Isn't that something? Amen.